Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And so we see a verse, one of those Proverbs verses that I always say is like a coin, heads and tails. We see on one side, the fear of man bringeth a snare. That's the negative. Flip it over. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I want to talk to you about how to overcome peer pressure, or peer pressure proofing yourself. How to overcome peer pressure. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord. So we study this very important subject. Lord, help us to understand the fear of man bringeth a snare. May we put our trust in you, Lord. We ask that you'd help us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's properly define peer pressure. I think it was Brother Lonnie Mattingly that I first heard say this, but I liked it. I've written it down. I've used it, repeated it many times. But peer pressure is fear pressure. That's why the Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. Peer pressure is really fear pressure. What do you mean, preacher? That means we succumb to the fear of isolation. If I do a certain thing, then those people won't like me. People won't like me. They won't want to be my friend. And so we have the fear of isolation, fear of ridicule. If I stand up for what's right, then I'm going to have to put up with the sarcasm and the teasing. And so fear of ridicule, fear of disappointment, fear, watch this, fear of being different. And we often talk to young people about this subject of peer pressure. But look right up here. I promise you it's true. Adults deal with this just as much as young people deal with this. Peer pressure doesn't have an age limit. If you're not careful, an adult, sometimes even a mature Christian, come on, help me here, will find yourself in a situation where you look back after the fact and said, why didn't I speak up? Why didn't I step up? Why didn't I challenge that? Why didn't I say what should have been said? And the honest truth is, if you put it under a microscope so you can learn from the situation, the word fear comes up. I succumb to the fear of man. I was worried about what somebody, what am I doing? I'm 50 years old. I was saved when I was 5. I've been saved 45 years. Been preaching for 32. Why did I just allow that to happen to me? And folks, it's not always peer pressure from lost people. Come on now. I mean, sometimes we're amongst Christian people and something is said that, or something something happens, and you know what? People sit there and they, and you know what, folks? Quiet, being quiet is still fear. Well, I didn't tell them I agreed with it. Did you step up? Did you speak up? And so this matter of peer pressure is something we've all got to deal with. I don't care from the most sage, veteran Christian in the room to the newest convert, from the youngest of the young people that's here listening tonight to the senior saints. If we're not careful, there's times when we do not put our trust in the Lord. We do not say, I'm going to trust the Lord and I'm going to do what's right and I'm going to say what's right in this instance and let him deal with the consequences. We allow the fear of man to bring a snare in our life. Now I'm going to have you go over to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. And I want to just point out something and teach a little bit on this idea of peer pressure, or as I like to call it, fear pressure. 1 Samuel, we see a young man here, and I'm so proud of this young man. I mean this. Brother Samuel, just a child. I want you children to listen up here and listen to me. Children sometimes put us to shame. You know, I've watched children step up and say the right things when adults were mute mouth. I've watched children, watch this, I've watched elementary young people say the right thing while teenagers sitting around afraid to say the right thing. And I'm proud of Brother Samuel here. Now, I'm going to read a few verses so that we get the gist of and are reminded a bit of how Samuel came about. Of course, the miracle of God who opened Hannah's womb. Remember verses 10, chapter 1, verse 10 through 19. Hannah prayed, bitterness of soul, prayed, wept sore, vowed a vow. Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And remember this, folks, every time this subject comes, I want to remind our church people, if you're praying for a child, That's great. I'll pray with you. But don't vow a vow to the Lord that you're going to bring the child to the temple and turn it over to the pastor to raise. I mean, I'm glad that Eli was good with that. But I'm telling you right now, I'm in full-fledged grandpa mode. I'm done raising children. So don't bring me your child and say, I vowed a vow unto God. And I said, yeah, I vowed one too, that I'm not raising your kid. Amen. And so don't try that on me. But verse 20, notice this. There, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, behold, I have asked him of the Lord. Verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, and she slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli, and said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying for the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Now, I'm going to say something. Let's just talk tonight. Wouldn't you think that Hannah would have gone home thinking, there is no better place I could have left my son? There's no safer place. I took him to the temple. Surely he'll be protected there. There won't be negative influences there. Hey, folks, watch this. Eli had a couple boys. They were older than Samuel. Are you thinking with me? Are you thinking? What about this peer pressure thing? Chapter 2, verse 11. Let's learn about this. The child did minister to the Lord before Eli the priest. Verse 11, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he stuck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All the flesh a hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh, and to all the Israelites that came thither also. Before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man say unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Therefore, watch this, the sin of the young men were very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Really, folks, a horrible situation here. But notice the first word in verse number 18. It's there, it's significant. It's linking to the story before it. But Samuel, what did he do? He ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. And so here we have the evil actions, the selfish actions. Eli's son was into sinfulness. They were into two things, sinfulness and self-gratification. They were misusing a trusted place in the temple. Eli's son, they should have been priest in training. And instead of that, they were young. Watch this. Unsupervised. Young and unsupervised. Eli restrained them not. Okay. I'm probably the biggest defender of preachers' kids on the planet. But I'm going to tell you this. Too many preachers have put relatives or kids in situations, in positions of authority that were not ready for it and did not properly monitor and keep them properly supervised and accountable. All of you young men, listen to me. Anytime you're put into a position of some type of beginner stages leadership, an older, wiser man ought to monitor how you handle that situation. These young men were not worthy of the position that their father had trusted them in. Their father should have yanked them out of that situation. And because they were allowed to do what they wanted to and have their way and do their thing, pretty soon people began to abhor the offering of the Lord. That means, you know what? They didn't want to bring an offering to the Lord. They didn't want to come to the temple. They didn't want to show up on the Lord's day. What a shameful, shameful thing. Now, we're building something here, okay? Verse 26, notice. And the child, Samuel, grew on, was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. So you see that? I mean, Samuel's just going on. He's still going. And he's doing well. Now think about this. I want to again remind you the dynamics. Turn to chapter 3, Let's look at the first four verses here. Lay a little bit more scripture. I want you to think about the dynamics of what's going on here. Verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of the covenant was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." Hey, he's not calling Eli's boys. He's not calling them by name. He's not hollering out for them. There's no Hophni and Phinehas that's being called. It's Samuel that hears the voice of the Lord. Remember that. Verse number 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did not, and let none of the words fall to the ground. And did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even unto Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Why? Why? Think about this. He was put in a situation as a child, and he was entrusted to the leadership of Eli, the high priest. But that wasn't the only example in the temple. Now think about this. Come on now. Hophni and Phinehas, closer to Samuel's age than Eli, obviously. You know, sometimes you young people, if you're not careful, you'll start looking up to some young man that maybe is not the age of your father, your grandfather. You might start idolizing, looking up to a teenager more than you look up to your dad or a young adult. It would have been very easy for Samuel in this situation to come into that set of dynamics, looked at Eli and think, man, he's just an old man. His eyes, the Bible said, were waxing dim. Means he wasn't in great health. He was, the Bible says, overweight. He was going blind. Probably, I'm sure they didn't know it back then, diabetic. Probably losing his eyesight because of that. It would have been very easy. I mean, I bet you anything, the two boys seemed cooler than the old man. And but Samuel, you know what? I'm going to credit Samuel here. Well, he made some good decisions. Now, I want to just pull some things if I can. By the way, chapter 4, verse 1. Let me just read that one more verse. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. And Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. Now, notice this. Now, God has exalted Samuel to the position of priest and prophet before Israel. And because he did not give in to peer pressure. Now, I'm going to give you some very practical, good advice tonight. I hope that all of you will listen, from you young people all the way up. The example of Samuel is an example of a young man that overcame peer pressure. He had the wrong older examples. He chose to ignore them, not watch them, and not follow them. And instead, he chose to put his eyes on the Lord, number one, and minister before Eli, stay faithful to the high priest, and not get caught up in the foolishness and the wickedness and the sin of these younger men. Because of that, God blessed him. Now, let me give you some practical advice on how to overcome peer pressure, or how to peer pressure proof yourself. Number one, identify who prays for you from those who prey on you. Identify who prays for you from those who prey on you. Chapter 1, verse number 27, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him." Chapter 2, verse 1, "And Hannah prayed and said." Now listen, you know who Samuel allowed to have the greatest influence in his life? A godly mama and an old preacher. A godly mama and an old preacher. You know what? If you're going to end up being much of anything in life, and somebody stops you when you're about 40 and say, "Hey, during your formative years, who did you allow to have the best influence, the most influence in your life?" A real good answer might be, "My mama." Amen. "And an old preacher." Amen, preacher. Now, it would be somebody besides this preacher, obviously, because I said an old preacher. It's tough, man. It's tough. I mentioned someone the other day. I was born in 1961 to a young guy, and he just stared at me like, wow, a relic. You know, a living, breathing antique, you know. They don't say that, but that's what their eyes are saying, you know. But, now, listen to me. There's people that are praying for you, and then there's people that will pray on you. First one's P-R-A-Y, the second one's P-R-E-Y. Now, you better figure out who's who. You better figure out who's who. There's folks in your life, you know what? They take your name before the Lord. They weep tears. They ask God to protect you. They ask God to help you to grow up and be an outstanding young person. They ask God to protect you from evil influence and from Satan and from the snares of this world. Let me tell you something. That person is your friend. That's who you ought to let have influence in your life. There's other people that are just wired this way. Listen, watch this. I'm going to tell you something. I'm getting ahead of myself in my outline a little bit, but that's okay. I'm going to tell you something. Only God deserves worship. Only God. Look at verse chapter 1. Let's go ahead and give you the second point. Chapter 1, verse 28. How do you overcome peer pressure? You identify who prays for you from those who pray on you. You separate spiritual influence from carnal influence. You figure out who's trying to point you to God, who's trying to point you away from God. Who's trying to lead you to right, who's trying to lead you to wrong. Now listen to me. You guys on the front row, elementary kids, if you'll take Max, listen, buddy, you're not very old, but you know what? You're old enough to figure this out. Max is a pretty smart boy. Now, you're going to have to figure out, okay, is this person trying to help me do right? Want me to do right? Or is this person trying to pull me over here and getting me to start doing something that's going to get me in trouble? You got, even at a young age, you can start figuring this stuff out. Okay, I think Max can figure out some things that I can't figure, get some teenage boys to figure out. Come on. I got elementary girls that can figure out some things I can't get some of you teenage girls to figure out. You know why? Because you're scared. Isn't that the way we say it in this county? You're scared. Oh my goodness sakes. If I say amen in church and seem excited and actually go like this at the preacher, she won't be my friend. She's not your friend now. She's not your friend now. You just haven't figured it out. I mean, if you're so bound up and scared, and that's what you are, you're a fraidy cat. Yeah, you're a double-dip fraidy cat with a cherry on top. I'm lost, man. Or I don't even know what I'm talking about now. And you know what? God spoke to your heart in a message, and you know down deep the Holy Spirit's saying the altar, but you can't move because somebody, some guy that you're trying to catch his eye may not approve of your level of spirituality. Well, tell him to take a hike. You don't want to be married to that your whole life anyway. I promise you don't. Now, what I'm saying is this, young people. Listen, you worship God. Only God deserves worship. Build a personal relationship with the Lord. We see this in chapter 3. And all of a sudden, I love this one statement. If you look in chapter 3, verse 4, the Lord called unto Samuel, and he answered, here am I. Boy, what I'm going to say next is so important. Focus in on this. Don't miss this. Verse 4, and the Lord called Samuel and said, here am I. All of a sudden, the Lord was no longer speaking to Samuel through Eli. God came directly to Samuel, and he was still a child. And he ran into Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. Now, notice what verse 6 says. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now, please listen to me, folks, young people. There's a difference between being saved and knowing the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. You know what God was coming in doing? God was saying, listen, I've spoke for a while through your parents, and I've spoke for a while through your authorities, and I've spoke for a while through your preacher. But now I want to come and I want to start speaking to you. I want to build a personal relationship with you. I'm going to start talking to you, young lady. I'm going to start talking to you, young man. Yes, sir. And And when God begins to talk directly to one of you, you know what? You've got to decide whether the voice of the Lord and what he thinks is more important to you than the voice of people around you and what they think. I mean, you got to get this down in your heart. You know what? The happiest young people in the world are the ones that have broke the chains of fear. I mean, you know what? They just look around at everybody and say, you know what? God bless y'all. You want to be retards? Go ahead. But I'm going to, you know what? I'm not doing this. You know, whatever you want to say about me, whatever you want to spend your life in third grade, go for it. But I'm going to give my life to God. And I'm listening to his voice. And what he says is 1,000 times more important than one of you knuckleheads and what you say. I don't care what your opinion is. You know what? Get in your little group and talk and make fun and call names and be stupid. Go ahead. By the way, you know what you need to do? You just need to give those people your phone number and say, call me in 15 years, let's talk. Just call me in 10 or 15 years and we'll talk. Okay? We'll see where you're at. We'll see where I'm at. Because I'm following the Lord. I'm not following you. See, folks, here's the thing. Watch this. You know why some people work so hard trying to keep you from allowing God to be God? Because they want to be God in your life. They want to be God in your life. Instead of having a fear of God, they want you to have a fear of them. Instead of going and asking God what they should do, they want you to come and ask them what they should do. Okay, instead of following God's influence, they want you to follow their influence. They literally want to be a little g God in your life. Now, if you let that happen, that's on you. Some young people in this room are committing idolatry because you've let one of your peers have more influence over you than you allow Almighty God in heaven to have. Now, you know what Samuel did? The Bible says in chapter 1, verse number 28. Chapter 1, let's go. I know I got you bouncing around the story a little bit, but notice this. Therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he, speaking of Samuel, worshiped the Lord there. From a child, he worshiped God. God, you're the one that gets to be God. You're the only one I'm going to allow to be God in my life. Only God's deserving of worship. And yet I've watched young ladies worship young men. And young men worship young ladies. And young men worship some strong personality young person. Or look, kid, a Hophni, a Phineas comes into their life. Next thing you know, they can't even think without calling and finding out what they're supposed to think about this. And you chain yourself. You chain yourself. And you don't, listen, one of the happiest days of my life as a young person was this. Listen, I hope you don't take this wrong, but you got to get to the point where you got to say, excuse me, who are you? Let me tell you who you are. Nobody. And by the way, so am I. And God's everything. So why in the world would I allow you to have influence, more influence in my life than Almighty God? Sorry. You just ain't that important. Well, I won't be your friend. Oh, well. I'd rather be a friend to God. I'd rather be a friend of God's people. Okay? It's terrible. Terrible thing. I watch 20-year-olds still bound by this. 30-year-olds, they still can't make a decision on their own. Still worried about what people are going to say or think. I'm not going to live my life that way. I mean it. I want to care what God thinks. I want to make him happy. I'll say this as your pastor. If a decision I make around here makes God happy and hair lips everybody in this congregation, guess who wins and who loses? I don't wet my finger, see which way the wind's blowing. I don't pass out poll sheets so I can find out what the majority of the people think about something. I want to get on my face before God and get a clear leading from God, and I want to make him happy. And again, if that makes you unhappy, you're just going to have to live unhappy. Sorry. I mean that. Learn to worship the Lord. Only God deserves worship. We got too many politicians in the pulpit, not enough prophets. Too many men afraid to death, old Mrs. So-and-so will throw a hissy fit after church if I say something from the pulpit, so I better leave that alone. That a preacher like that needs to quit. He needs to resign. He needs to go out and make an honest living somewhere. You know what? Listen, I'm not in the business of trying to alienate people or upset people. And the thing about it is, people who love God are going to want the same thing. They're okay with this. Now, let me give you some things. Identify who prays for you from those who pray on you. Learn to worship the Lord and Him alone. Number three, stay close to the man of God. Stay close to the man of God. Now, preacher, you just said that only God deserves worship. That's exactly right. I'm going to say it again. Only God deserves worship. But there are men of God that can be a super fantastic influence in your life. Chapter 2, verse number 11, the Bible says, the last part of that verse, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. You know what this boy did? He had a mama that loved him and prayed for him, and I'll bet you 100 times before she turned him over to Eli, he heard the story about how she couldn't have a child, but he was special, and she prayed for him, and she was giving him back to God. And when Samuel, as a boy, walked into that situation, he had enough sense to figure out who the most spiritual person in the mix was, and he attached himself to that person. We've got young people getting ready to go off to Bible college. And for the first time, and some that are home for the summer getting ready to go back. I'm going to tell you this. I've given this piece of advice. I'm going to give it to you right now from the pulpit. But don't you let circumstances choose your friends in college. Don't let circumstances. If I'm a freshman going into Bible college, and this is the mentality I had, I wanted to, listen, I didn't really hang with a lot of other freshmen. I wanted to look. My daddy said this when I went. He said, you look for upperclassmen who are on the right track, who are becoming what you want to become, who are sharp, spiritual, want to serve the Lord, want to do something. I mean, they're not hanging out. They're not bumming it. You know, they're messing around. They're not skating how close they can get to the room. You find what you want to be, and you hook yourself up to that group right there. That's some of the best piece of advice. I mean, I went to Hiles Anderson College back in 1979. I looked ahead, and I found some sharp guys. I mean, they had their act together, and buddy, they were running prayer meetings, and they were winning souls, and they were setting goals. And I mean, you know what? You didn't have to worry about where they were, curfew time. And you didn't have to worry about how many rules they broke. You didn't have to worry about their name being milled about in the middle of the semester for having to get. Listen, I'm not looking for somebody seeing how close to the world they can look. That's not the crowd I want to hang around. It's just not. And so what he did was he looked for a man of God. Samuel had to choose between his peers and his mentor. Okay, his peers and his mentor. Chapter 2, verse 26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. You know, Samuel is one of the few men in the Bible that this is said of other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. If you find favor with the Lord, you'll automatically find favor with, let me qualify this, real men. Okay, if you find favor with the Lord, you're going to be out of favor with punks. Big deal. If you're in favor with the Lord, find favor with the Lord, carnal people aren't going to adore you. So what? That's not the crowd I want to be around anyway. Hey, preacher, should I separate myself from... Here, let me tell you the easiest way to separate yourself from the wrong crowd. Go hard after God. You go hard after God, you won't have to separate yourself from anybody. They'll separate from you. Go hard after God. I mean, just you know, that's who I'm going for. That's when I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to spend my life seeking His face and His favor. That's what I'm about. And you head that direction. You know what? People that are also heading that direction will become your companions of life. You know why? Because can two walk together except they be agreed? And so you start heading for the Lord. Next thing you know, you're going to look around and people around you are going to be the people that are heading in the same direction. People you shouldn't be around are going to be the ones that slinked off somewhere. I mean, you know what? Water rises to its level. Okay? I could take two kids out of this Christian school, and I could take them to any Christian school in America and put them in there. And if I took a carnal kid, in one day, they would find the other carnal kids and start hanging around them. And if I took a spiritual kid in one day, they would identify the other spiritual kids and start hanging around them. I mean, Chad, as you were going through Bible college, you see the freshman class come in. And in a week, you knew who was who. Because the kids that weren't serious about serving the Lord found each other. And the kids that were found each other. Now, let me ask you something. Who are you looking for? What crowd are you looking for? Well, that's true of Bible college and Christian school. It's true of the local assembly. Well, preacher, I like it better when you're preaching about Bible college. Because I ain't going there. I mean, you know what? Honestly, I want to help you. If you're a young lady, I'm talking about a young lady. Good night. Everybody's a young lady anymore. The only place I can't get sympathy in this church is I went back and I sat down in the pew between Mrs. Fulkerson and Mrs. Alley. And I leaned forward. And Mrs. Alley said, "How you doing, Pastor?" And I said, "Oh, I'm old. I'm just old and tired. I'm old." And Mrs. Fulkerson looked at me. And I said, "Am I in the wrong pew to get sympathy?" "You better believe it." She said, "I'm so old, I can't remember when I was your age." So you got to pick your spots. But, hey, you know what? Figure out what you want to be. Figure out what, I mean, honestly, if I'm a young adult and I'm coming to this church, I'm not looking around for the people that are looking how much they don't have to listen, how much they can not be involved. I'm looking for the people that are going where I want to go, trying to be what I'm trying to be. I'm going to hook myself up to that crowd. So stay close to godly people. Quickly, 4 and 5, let me give them to you. 1, 2, stay busy serving the Lord. How do you overcome peer pressure? Stay busy serving the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 11, we read this. But he did minister unto the Lord. Don't forget this, folks. He had jobs to do. He wasn't just hanging out. He wasn't lying at the gate like Eli's other two boys. They lay at the gate. They just hung out. Okay? He wasn't doing that. He was busy. He was busy serving the Lord. Verse number 18, chapter 2. What does it say? But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child. Man, stay busy. Just stay busy serving the Lord. You know, idle hands are still the devil's workshop. And if you stay busy, the word minister here means service. Get a heart for ministry. Get busy. Get busy serving the Lord. If you'll do this, you know what? It's going to keep you from being involved too much with peer pressure and those that have the time to exert that. Number 5, don't sacrifice the future plan of God for the temporal approval of spiritual losers. Don't sacrifice the future plan of God for the temporal approval of spiritual losers. Now you think about Samuel's life and how drastically it could have been rewritten. Let's suppose Hannah wept and cried. Begged God for this boy. She raises him up to a certain age, takes him to Eli, says, "Please, I promised him back to God. I'm bringing him here to serve in the temple of God. I'm bringing him here to help you in any way he can." Can you imagine if this child, a couple years down the road, all of a sudden decides that Hophni and Phinehas are cooler, that's who I want to be, that's who I want to hang around. You might want to consider their end. You might want to consider their end. But you know what? Samuel, would have there been a first Samuel in the Bible? Nope. Would there have been a second Samuel in the Bible? Nope. Would there have been what I think is perhaps, arguably, the greatest prophet that Israel ever had? Nope. Who would have poured oil on Saul's head? Wouldn't have been Samuel. Who would have poured oil on David's head and anointed him king? Wouldn't have been Samuel. Who would have been that clear voice, spiritual leadership, that set the stage for the kingdom that, and by the way, a run in Israel that's unparalleled in spiritual success and spirituality? It wouldn't have been Samuel. What would the nation have become? I don't know. But I'll tell you this, at some point, didn't you love that little phrase there? Let me see if I can find it again. Look if you will, in chapter 3, verse number 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. You know why? Because as a little boy, when nobody was looking and nobody knew him, he listened to mama. He looked at the old man and said, he's hurting, and he can't see well, and he can't get around well, and this place needs tending. So I'm going to roll my sleeve up, and I'm going to go to Eli. I'm going to say, what do you want me to do today? And mama stayed busy. And he had enough sense, even little boy eyes had enough sense to watch those two rascals come in drunk, laying in their room bragging about the women they had and the things that they stole from good godly people. And he looked at that and said, I don't want that. I'm not being that. That's not why my mama prayed that God would give me life. Young people, I mean this. Boy, let me have your hearts. Some of you young men need to get back to being more concerned about pleasing mama and not breaking her heart than you are keeping happy a bunch of loser friends. Better think about it. Where were those friends when you were little? Where were those friends when you had a cold? Where were those friends when you needed something and mama sacrificed and did without so you could have it? Okay? Where were those friends when your daddy's working those extra shifts to keep a roof over your head, food on your table? Where were they? You getting this? Getting in your heart? Don't sacrifice the future plan of God for the temporal approval of spiritual losers. Now, fast forward 10 years. Fast forward 10 years in your mind. Young person, where are you going to be? What are you going to be doing? Is keeping a carnal friend or two happy worth throwing away the entire future that God has for you? Go hard after the Lord. Go hard after God. Set your boundaries. Watch this. State your case. Some of you need to just have enough courage to look at somebody that's had way too much influence in your life and say, listen, I love you and I'll pray for you, but we're done. We're done. I pray you get your act together, but you know what? I'm not saying it's you. I'm not saying it's me. I'm just saying together we're not real good. I need to be around people that's going to help me to be what I need to be. You never know. Making a stand like that might not only turn your heart the right direction, but God might use it to turn that person's heart the right direction. You getting this? I hope so. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, please, Lord, help us. God, I've said a lot to young people, but you know this is true. Lord, there's as many adults every year that make poor decisions based on fear pressure as any group of teenagers, any group of children in any church. Help us, Lord, to love people but not allow people to cause us to fear to do right, to fear to say what's right, to fear in going the right direction. May we love you supremely with all of our hearts. Help that young person that's struggling. And Lord, it's insecurity, it is. And it's hard because when you're growing up, you battle a lot of insecurities. And I know for young people, having a friend's important, and sometimes it becomes way too important. But I pray, Lord, that you'll help young people to just decide the best friend they could ever have in the world is God Almighty. May they seek your face and seek your approval in everything that they do. Because in the end of the day, Lord, when we lay our head down on our pillow and close our eyes, God, having the smile of God, the approval of God upon our life, there is no greater thing in the world than that. Please help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.